Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Stephen Serta. Chiefs organized team activities continue this week. On Thursday, we heard from head coach Andy Reid, safety Justin Reid, tackle Jawan Taylor, and backup quarterback Blaine Gabbert. We'll go in that order, starting with the head coach, followed by Justin Reid. After that, we'll take a quick timeout. When we get back, we'll wrap things up with Jawan Taylor and Blaine Gabbert. Here's head coach Andy Reid.
So I'll start with Norma Hunt. We're obviously sad that she passed away. The thing that gets you through these things is trying to focus on the good times, and we had so many good times with her, and just the picture, the image of her greeting Lamar up there kind of fires me up. And it'll be a great reunion, and there's such love between them and the family. So. We're here to support them, the family, and our memories of Norma are great. So, with that, it's good to get these guys out here working. They're working their tail off. This week has been all against opponents. So, the AFC West, and then our first opponent against the Lions. So, we got some work. We got the Lions tomorrow. We've had the AFC West the last 3 days. So, but the guys are working hard. They're challenging each other within the rules that you're confined to. So, but it's a good foundation for them as we work into the veteran mini camp and then into training camp. Most of all, they'll at least have a foundation there going up to St. Joe. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
Hey, Andy, just early impressions of Sky Moore.
Yeah, Sky's worked real hard this offseason, so and he looks like he's on the same page with Patrick. He's doing a nice job, and again, we just in these camps he's been doing a real nice job. Let's keep on advancing as we go, and he'll do that because he's wired right to do that.
Andy, you learn anything about Donovan Smith and Jawan Taylor from a few weeks of coaching those guys now?
Yeah, so this is all pass game. There's no run game, and then the defensive line pulls off, once they get up the field. So, but listen, they're smart guys. They're taking good sets and doing the things that they're supposed to do, and you can tell that they've played before. They're handling themselves right, and digging in on the new protections and the snap count in itself, and all those things. Make sure they're ready once we get up to training camp.
When you've had turnover at the receiver position, especially like last couple of years, and you've got not only new guys coming in, but then rookies come in as well, is there a custom game plan as far as how you prep each one of those guys and get them up to speed? Or is there a one-size-fits-all approach? How do you do it when you got that many new players?
Yeah, well, you kind of teach them the whole as you're going, one day at a time. So, the whole to the part and not the part to the whole. So we give them the whole shebang, then we break it down for them in little pods each day, although they have all the information that they can go look at the big picture of things. So but we try to taper the individual practices into a pretty tight window there for them so they can focus in on what they need to.
Sorry, Coach.
You're right.
On the eve of the veteran mini camp, when the rookies get here, everything's so new. I just wonder, from a skill position standpoint, what your thoughts have been on Rashee Rice and Denarius Prince so far.
Yeah, I think they've both have done a nice job. Again, I think the volume and the tempo and all those things, the newness of the plays, they're in a huddle. You know what I'm saying? So that's all, and the speed that we go at, and then the speed, obviously, that the defense presents. So they're in the different coverages. So they're working through all that, and that's a positive.
With Denarius specifically, we saw him make a catch out there. What have you learned about him?
Which one?
and Eric Prince.
Yeah. Yeah, no, listen, I saw Veach over there coaching you guys up on that. He's got really good hands. I mean, and it looked like he caught one right when Veach was there, so in the end zone right in front of you guys. But he's done a nice job. Again, that's part of the game. So another part is the running game, which we're not doing, except versus air. And so we'll have to see how all of that goes once we get there. But he's a sharp kid. He's got skill, it looks like. I mean, you know, he's big and can run and has a good feel for things right now.
Coach Felix had been limited at rookie camp, but it seems like he's come along now. Is he back to full and everything's okay?
Yeah, he is. He had that surgery, the thumb surgery, and then had a hamstring too. And so he's worked through all that, and he's back in the swing, and looks like he's feeling better every day, which is a good thing.
What was it like being around last year's team at the White House? Maybe some guys like EB, Frank Clark, some guys who have gone to other places. What stands out from that group of which y'all?
I'll tell you what, it was great. You know what was neat? I mentioned it to you down there that, you put all the politics aside. So you're not Democratic, you're not Republican, you're not independent, you're an American. And I thought that was the neatest part of the thing, that everybody was just enjoying the history, and they laid out a spread for us of food that was great, and the hospitality was phenomenal. They had different military guys in each of the rooms they let us go in, and the guys were experts on the paintings and the architecture and who, you know, whose special room this was in that room. And so you got the history, everything from the oldest table to the oldest picture, you know, you got the history of that. And I think the guys appreciated that part. And then, listen, President Biden spent a ton of time with the guys and myself and some of the coaches there. So he's obviously a Delaware fan. And we got a lot of those blue hens on our team, so in the coaches ranks there and Brett. So he spent a ton of time with us, more than we thought. We were thinking maybe 10 minutes you get from the president, but he was very giving there, yeah.
Did you go with Green Bay back in the day?
I did, yeah. Well, Green Bay. It was a little different than that. Some of the restrictions are tighter now. But they tried not to make you feel that way, that we were it, and they appreciated us being there. I mean, it was, like I said, the hospitality was phenomenal. My hat goes off to them.
How impactful was it for you and the other guys and people in the organization who were here in 19 and didn't get that experience there and could get it now?
Yeah, it was kind of fun. I mentioned that, you know, when I had a chance to talk, that, well, we're enjoying the heck out of this thing. I mean, and I wish all the guys from that team could have been there too, but, you know, it was great. That was great. And we had a ton. They divided off, which I know some of you guys were there, but they divided off the crowd. So you had the team and the Chiefs on the organization on one side, and then on the other side you had people that were Chief fans and that live either in D.C. and work or in the surrounding area there. So, and both sides were fully loaded. There were a lot of people. And that was kind of fun to see. And then the people that were outside by the buses, they let people get relatively close there. And again, the support was great. You felt that for the guys that they, and the guys that left had a blast with it. They just jumped in like it was not, you know, like they were still on the team and rolling. So.
How different has the experience been this time and the demands of everybody's time? Because after 54 with COVID, there was none of this kind of hoopla and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so in a weird way, I think they were excited to have us there just because of that. You know, President Biden had played football at Delaware, so he was, I'm sure it's a breath of fresh air where he didn't have to worry about talking to the guys. He could just talk to them, and he did. And I think the guys loved that part. I think he loved it, so it was neat.
Couple more guys.
Coach Reed, you have Chiefs night game coming up on Monday. I don't know if you saw Travis Kelce throw out the first pitch at Cleveland.
Yeah, he's been working hard.
Have you been coaching him off?
Yeah, I think Pat has. Yeah, Pat's been on him. He's working hard at it. I think you're going to get a better performance this time. He can throw now. It's just get straight there.
Coach, so much of Kadarius since he's been here is just making sure that he stays on the field. He looks, you know, good from all views, but how has he been feeling day to day?
Yeah, no, he's doing good. So he, it's good to have him out there, and think he's having fun, and developing a relationship there with everybody in the quarterback in particular.
Nate and then Nick.
Andy, you mentioned how the food was excellent at the White House. Can you give specifics as to what was all involved in the spread?
Yeah, so they did have some good stuff. They had a grill, I've never had this before, so a French toast, grilled cheese, and ham sandwich that they sprinkled a little bit of powdered sugar on. I mean, it was phenomenal. The guys were, and it was, there was abundance of this. And then they had chicken fingers, exotic chicken fingers to boot. And then maybe the best part was they had, which I hadn't seen before, but little bite-sized squares of the heart of the watermelon. So whoever, you know, my hat went off to the chef. I went back and talked to him. I mean, I just go, you guys are unbelievable. I mean, whoever cut all of that out and had the patience to do that, that goes off to him.
All right.
How was the White House? Man, the White House was sick. Really sick. I didn't know what to expect when we first went out there, but it was a good time. I'm like an information junkie, too, so like I really liked the art curators there, talking about, you know, the artwork and the furniture. And then we got to talk to some of the corporals and Marines and Secret Service officers. It's really cool.
Well, what information did you kind of retain from some of that?
Well, the best story I got for you, one of our curators was telling me about this portrait that I was hanging up and said that maybe 60, 70 years ago, this American family took a trip to India and they saw this portrait. It's covered in dirt, muddy, whatever, whatever. So they end up going to the store, and the people who were selling it sold it for $7, but wanted to keep the frame, right? So they kept the frame, they get the portrait, bring it back to America. Turns out it was an original painting of like Philadelphia from like colonial time, or whatever. Portrait's worth $300 million. They bought it for $7. You know what I mean? It was freaking nuts. So I was like, yeah, there's a couple stories like that, and then. We got the tour, the main level, and most of the time when you have public tours, they have it roped off, and we got to actually go and, like, be in it and sit on the furniture, and me and a couple guys got to go talk to some of the White House staff about our experiences and championship habits and handling pressure, and give our insights to it, so it was really unique.
How tough is it, you know, because you have that moment, and you're going to have the ring ceremony, I believe, next week, how tough do you think it's going to be for to, like, turn the page in a sense of knowing that you have to do it? I know this will be the first time in your career you have to
Yeah, honestly, the page is already turned. Like, we're out there working. We're out there chasing another championship. We're starting to build a new culture. Every year is different. It's a new team. We know nothing's going to be given to us. We got an even bigger target on our back than we did last year. Now we get to take a moment every once in a while to go back in the history book and or the yearbook and, you know, enjoy that moment and have some of our former players, you know, Juan and Juju and some of those guys come back. You know, you get to talk to them a little bit. But as far as the mentality in the room, we're working to, you know, continue this dynasty and continue to build on what we did last year, not just rest on our laurels of what we already did.
And speaking of turning the page, it seems like Brian is really not shy and
love it.
Getting involved.
Love it. Super Brian Cook.
Yeah.
Super vocal guy. Where we are right now, as far as last year, we had so many new faces, myself included. Where we are right now on the communication side and really knowing the defense, we're light years ahead of where we were last year. It's really exciting. You can feel it in the communication and the energy out there. Guys know the program now. We're bought into the system. And it's about bringing the new guys now that we have along and catching them up. And I think it'll be easier to do than last year because last year there's just so many new faces. It's, you know, it just takes a little bit longer to bring it all together. But this year, Chuck's been doing well. I'm going to keep bringing guys along. Really like Drew Tranquil a lot. He's been adjusting really nicely.
Specific to you, where do you think you made that biggest jump going from being a new face last year to this year coming off the White House visit?
Oh, man, the confidence. Like, I'm a guy, I see myself as a play caller on defense. You know, I enjoy the X's and O's, the checks, really getting everybody situated and put in the best position. And then playing a couple of different roles from strong safety to free safety to dime linebacker to sometimes kicker. You know, like having confidence in those roles and not having to be out there and think and just be able to play, like as offenses make shifts to make those adjustments rapidly, have ourselves in the right positions and leverages and to play fast at that point, really start to take the game to a new level, you know, and I think in the second half of the year, you start to see that, and I'm planning to continue that progression this year.
What about you? When did you start to feel comfortable with what you were doing last year?
About a week or two after the first time we played the Bengals. A week or two after that, I really started to get it down because we do a lot of stuff, man. We do a lot of stuff. And then we had a lot of new faces, so it's kind of hard because there wasn't as much help to, you know, so we're all like kind of, you know, trying to figure it out together. But this year, guys are just so much sharper just from having experience in the team that the comfort level is so much higher and the confidence is higher.
Not that long, not many regular season games. I mean, just a few games to go.
Mm-hmm. It definitely takes, there is a little bit of a steeper learning curve here than maybe some other football programs just because of the depth of the playbook. But once guys get it, man, it's really exciting and electric because the pressure's hit home. I mean, Coach Spags and the defensive staff and offensive staff do a phenomenal job game planning. You know, they challenge us with the load of it, but in the end, it makes us a better team.
Spags always talks about the volume that you guys had and you throw at the rookies, and I'm sure that you experienced last year. What do you make of Spags and his system, and how impressed are you that you can do so many different things with
him? Well, it makes it extremely hard to game plan. You know, I've been a part of systems where you might go into a game with, you know, six or seven plays, and we want to just do what we do. And in this system, you know, we go into a game with 30 plays, you know, so it's extremely difficult for opposing offenses to try and game plan for that because we want to have a different pressure schemed up for you every week. You're not going to know what's going to come. So as long as guys are in tune and run the pressures correctly, typically they hit home.
Justin, there's a few guys around the league who are running into problems with the NFL's gambling rules.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like guys understand what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do in terms of
gambling? I think that we can clear it up a little bit. I think that there has been some trial and error and some unfortunate incidents. As far as my experience personally, like talking about how even making bets inside of the locker room, you know what I mean? You had some guys suspended from Detroit for about that, even if it wasn't on NFL games. Just the instance of making a bet on anything inside of the locker room is an infraction, right? So I think that having some more clarity on those details and really driving it home, I think that guys now know the severity of it. Because it's starting to happen a couple of times now. You know, Calvin really just getting reinstated from it, and the guys has happened this year. So just some awareness and some caution and some leadership there I think will help.
Justin, looking at how we're hoping these young DBs can grow going into this season, how much of a benefit do you think it was that not only did they play last year, but like Jalen, Joshua, Brian, they made huge plays in the AFC title game and the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think that leaves some bounds for their confidence because – you know, Josh makes the plays against Devontae Adams, arguably the best wide receiver in the league. You know, Jalen Watson coming up with a big-time pick in the Cincinnati Bengals game in the playoff game to really ice the game. I think that moments like that allow them the confidence to be like, I'm a player here and I deserve and I've earned my spot here, but not to become satisfied with that, but to continue to work and drive it. You know, we have a competitive atmosphere to work, but still, to have pelts on the wall, have those moments, I think is huge for their confidence and makes us all a better team.
Last one. Yeah.
With the softball game coming up tomorrow, is there anything you're kind of looking forward to with it?
We got a couple of guys that claim they're pretty good baseball players, so I'm excited to see them put their money where their mouth is and see, you know, some guys swing for the fences on the home run derby. I'm going to get out there. I'm not making any promises. But we have some other defensive players that have a baseball background. B. Cook is one of them, so we get to see what those guys got.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me. Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I've been loving it, man. It's been so fun. I'm so excited to be here and be a part of such a great team.
Had you had any relationship before with Donovan, and just what was it like to join him to the team, knowing that you guys are going to be the two ends of the
offensive line? When I heard he was coming, it was so glad. I was glad to hear it, man. He's a great player. I've been knowing him for years. We connect because we had the same offensive line coach, George Warhop. So that's how we knew about each other for the past few years.
When you first signed, there had been some talk about you jumping over to the left side. Has it been a relief in a sense that you're just going to stick to the right side, or how did you take the news?
I'm just here to help the team win, man, wherever the team needs me. I told Coach Reed if they need me on the left, I'll play the left. They need me on the right, I'll play the right. So, you know, I feel like I'm athletic to do either one, so wherever the team needs me, I'm there.
And I know we're a long time away from this, but in a situation where in game you needed to slide over, do you think you'd feel comfortable?
Oh, yeah, for sure, definitely. And especially learning the offense now, learning the system, I'll be ready.
Coming from Jacksonville, you know, Coach Peterson, a lot of ties with him and Coach Reed. Have you seen any similarities in the playbook so far?
Yeah, definitely similarities. I feel like it's a few more moving parts in this offense, a little more advanced for the offensive line. But, you know, I've been learning it and I've been enjoying it.
How much more advanced is it?
Oh, not crazy. Not too much more advanced because it's definitely similar. But it's definitely a great, great scheme.
Coach Reed talks about this is a passing camp. And, you know, when it comes to the offensive line, you can't really touch each other and everything.
Right.
How do you use your time? What are you learning this time?
Really just soaking in everything I could soak in from Coach Heck. Just tweaking and adjusting different things with my game just to make me better. So anything I can do to do that, I've been soaking it in, just taking notes in meetings. But also just learning the system, learning how they like things done around here and, just doing my part.
Do you find that there are, maybe some specific things that, Coach Heck wants you to do as far as, scheme-wise, technique-wise, that's maybe different than what you've done in the past?
Not really. Just tweaking different things, just adjusting small things, different techniques, but not changing too much, but, it's always room for improvement.
How do you perfect your technique in this side of camp?
Really just doing it in Indy, and then everything you do in Indy, just carry it over the team. So when I go against the guys, of course we can't do too much, but definitely try to take meaningful reps every time I'm out there.
Are y'all seeing the chemistry kind of form with the five that y'all have so far?
Oh, most definitely. We have a very good O-line room, not just the five and the ones, but also the rest of the guys. A very, very good group of guys.
How much time off the field have you spent with some of these guys in the room? I know that in previous years the offensive line would have get-togethers and things like that.
I've spent a lot of time with them so far. Pretty much every week we try to do something fun, whether we go to dinners or do something like that, just to build a relationship and build that bond with each other. But I've been enjoying it. Everybody here is very welcoming.
Have y'all had the Big Man Steakhouse dinner yet?
Yes, we did, actually. Pat took us out last week. We went to Ocean Prime. It was really good. Everybody enjoyed each other, but it was good.
What kind of steak did you get?
I didn't get a steak that night. I think I got some sushi, and I just tried some of the appetizers and stuff. I didn't go too crazy.
Did you pay?
No, I didn't pay.
last one. I know Donovan said that he had heard a lot about an Andy Reid training camp.
Mm-hmm.
From your vantage point, what have some of the veterans told you about what to expect when the team does go to St. Joe?
Just be in shape. That's really it. Just be in shape and be ready to go. We heard it's hard, but we definitely got to make sure we show up in shape and ready to go.
All right.
Thank y'all. Appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Welcome home.
Thank you. Yeah. It's good to be home.
An obligatory MVP.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it about Kansas City? What made your decision to come here?
It was pretty easy. Just talking to Chad Henne for a while, then having the chance to talk to Coach Reed and kind of pick their brains, see what they wanted in a backup, see how Chad enjoyed it. Talking to Daniel Kilgore, who played here, Blake Bell, it was a very easy decision. Coach Reed's always been a guy and a coach that I've watched from afar, and how he handles himself, how he handles the organizations that he represents, and it's nothing but first class, and it's been that way since I've been here.
Specifically, what did Chad tell you about this?
He loved it. He spoke extremely highly of the entire coaching staff, not only Coach Reed, but Nags, Girardi, all the guys that we work with on a daily basis, and I think he was here for 5 years, and he's somebody that I trust his opinion on, and being last year, I think it was his 15th year, so he's been around the block quite a bit, and he spoke very highly of the organization, and really it was an easy sell at that point.
What type of player would you say that if Chiefs fans were asking, left tackle and Donovan Smith, and what he brings to the table?
Extremely gifted. One of the most athletic, physically gifted left tackles that I've seen in going on 13 years now, and I told Patrick when we all got here, I was like, he's going to help this team a lot. He's going to help solidify that front. with JT and Donnie on the edges and our interior guys. That's got to be the best, if not the best, offensive line in the NFL.
How much do you feel like his injury set him back last year?
You know, injuries are a part of the game, and sometimes they're hard to play through. And Donnie's an extremely tough player. As you guys know, he's been one of the most durable offensive linemen through the first 8-9 years of his career. And, you know, some things just, he got nicked up last year. So it was a down year, and I know he's going to want to play well this year, and he's going to play well. He's a great friend, and he's a great football player.
Being in the room with Tom and then being in the room with Pat, do you see any similarities there, maybe in how they approach their craft?
They're maniacal perfectionists. And I mean that in the most endearing way possible. They're the two best, in my opinion, to ever play the game. To see the similarities, kind of how they operate in the meeting room, on the practice field. Now they're completely different players, as we all know. But the way they approach the game on and off the football field is the exact same way. And you can see why they both have had such sustained success early on and then throughout their careers.
How do you see that in Pat?
Just his attention to detail. He's a master of the system. He's been in it now, I think, going on 7 years. He still approaches it like it's day one, still taking notes the same way as he did as a rookie, as all quarterbacks do. You need to kind of refresh every single year, and there's always something that he wants to work on, always something to improve on, always something to get better at.
How has the learning process of Andy Reid's system been for you so far?
It's been fun. I guess I would say I'm pretty good at learning offenses now at this point in my career, which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it's been a blast. It's definitely been refreshing being in the last system for 4 years, really five going back to Arizona with Bruce. It's been a nice change of pace. Just a lot of studying, a lot of FaceTimes with Girardi, just going over the plays, going over the script. So it's just like back to school for the first day.
Blaine, obviously you can help the team if you get in there or if it gets hurt, but what are some other ways you hope to help this team?
Just wisdom, experience. I've been around a lot of teams, a lot of coaches, a lot of offensive systems. So just asking, not really the quote dumb question, but just kind of starting conversations on seeing things different ways, doing things different ways. It just kind of engages people and kind of see like a 10,000 foot view of football.
Do you see you doing that with Pat too, challenging him and talking to him?
Yeah, it's just high level football questions because there's so many ways to skin a cat. There's so many ways to complete a pass, run a concept. And every coaching staff, every tree, every scheme is different. And I haven't yet to be in this system before, so it's definitely a learning curve. But if we can just take bits and pieces from every system I've been in and just apply it, start a conversation, that's a good thing.
Blaine, there's a undrafted guy in the backfield with you, Demir Prince, for much of this OTA section. Mm-hmm. Just how do you try to help someone who's very new to the league, who obviously wasn't drafted, and trying to sort of bring them along?
For being a rookie, he's doing a tremendous job. He's a lot of fun to be back there. He had a great catch today on a on a deep ball that Pat threw him, which it was unbelievable to see a rookie running back, especially a big running back like that, jump, twist, and catch a back shoulder. So he's doing a great job. He'll be a lot of fun to watch in training camp when we get the pads on in the preseason games and the regular season, because he's definitely be a load getting downhill.
Do you keep up with Mizzou football at all? Do you like Columbia?
We were just talking about that, actually. My buddy Justin Smith, who is a longtime D-tackle in the NFL, I played with him in San Francisco. He lived in Columbia there for a while, but I've not been back. There's been so much turnover there the last 13, 14 years, so it's been tough to keep track. But, you know, they're doing well in the SEC, but I'm a Big 12 guy at heart, so it's tough to see that one go. I miss the KU-Nebraska rivalries, but no, they're doing well, but I don't know. I can't get behind the SEC stuff. Young and talented. Those guys are eager to learn, and it's nice having a young group of guys that are just absorbing information, and they're working extremely hard. And it's a lot of fun to work with. I've been fortunate the last few years to work with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Gronk. So I'm just seeing how that level of player worked and their work habits. I try and help the young guys kind of emulate those work habits and bring them along.
And kind of getting to see Travis firsthand day in, day out, what's kind of really impressed you?
He's the best. He has a rare feel for the game of football. I usually say, like, he sees the game like a quarterback. Knows when to sit down, when to get open, when to get his head around. So to have a guy like that being so close to you at the tight end position, it's an invaluable asset that we have. And he's been such a great player for so long, and he's doing great as always.
Anything else?
Chase was backing up.
Yeah, Chase was here. Shoot, yeah. So I talked to Chase about it, and he loved it here. There's been a lot of guys that have come through here that I know, and Chase, Chad, Kilgore, all the guys. So they spoke very highly of this place.
Last one.
Blaine, you were talking about Travis earlier. It seems like he's going to get another shot of redemption with the ceremonial first pitch as a quarterback. Any advice for him? In terms of throwing that?
Yeah, we call that the old 50-footer you threw. But I think mounds are 60 feet 6 inches. But you just got to get the release point right. It's tough throwing a football compared to a baseball, and a baseball, especially been throwing a football, feels a little light in the hands. Like I don't know, I may throw one off the backstop too the first time.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, guys.